All right. Well, after listening to Pastor Dave's message this morning, I don't know how many of you caught it or how many of you were at both services. I was as surprised as anybody at mine. As it was happening, I was wondering who sprinkled the gunpowder in my Starbucks this morning, because like I came out with both barrels blazing, you know. Maybe I'm upset at my own flesh and took it out on you. I don't know. But what was interesting to me is so many of the same elements were in Pastor Dave's message. And it was delivered in a whole different spirit. You know, the love and the, you know, you're God's favorite and it's going to be okay. And I'm thinking, thank God I still have an example that I'm following. He's still way down there. I get the binoculars and I can see him on the trail down there ahead of me somewhere, you know. He's still praying. But one part of his message is just reminded me again today, and I think it's perfect for the first services of the year, and that has to do with praying your future. Praying your future. So go ahead and open up to John 14 and also Romans chapter 8, because we sometimes forget the basics. You know, part of this morning's message was, well, I think we call mine, don't let these things slip. Things that we have learned and that you've walked in. You know, I'm telling you, I've been at this a long time, and it's not even in the natural. You know, you can get out of debt and do pretty good for a few years, and if you let certain disciplines slip, you can wind up back in debt again and wonder, how in the world did that happen? Or how about this one? Nobody has any, can relate to this. You know, you can lose a lot of weight. Let certain disciplines slip. We're not talking about anyone that we know. And pretty soon you can be pretty heavy again and say, now how did that happen? Well, we let certain things slip. Well, one of the earliest things that I remember being taught here at the prayer center was the ministry of the Holy Spirit when it comes to praying your future. Now, John 14, when Jesus was introducing the Holy Spirit, he says, John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And the part that, just previous to this, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. No, it's verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Well, but how he comes to us now is by this agency of the Holy Spirit, see? And an orphan has no future unless someone takes them in. They're on their own. They have no one to provide for them, no one to educate them, no one to do anything. So one of the things that I first learned and first appreciated was, wow, you know, this Holy Spirit, if I learn how to cooperate with him, if I learn how to walk with him, I'm going to have a future. Everyone turn to somebody and say, I have a future. And it's been planned by God. And he's given you this Holy Ghost to help get you there. So coming on down to verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, come over to chapter 16, verse 13, just for a moment. And he says, howbeit he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And, now get this, he will show you things to come. Did you get that? He will show you things to come. I'm thinking again right now of Paul and Silas. After they had finished an assignment for God, they didn't know what to do next. They were thinking about, like we all do. I mean, I could have coffee with, you know, any of us could sit down around a table and start talking. On my own, I can come up with probably 10 different things that might be God that maybe I should be doing. And it could occupy, and if I go down any one of those paths, I'm the kind of guy that if I do something, I'm going to give myself to it a lot. And I'll occupy the next week, month, depending on what it is, year. And if that path is really not God, it might be a good thing. It might be something that's good to do. But is it his plan? See? And I don't want to spend my life shadow boxing. I don't want to spend the next 30, 40 years that I'm going to be on the planet. I don't want to spend that wandering around like Israel in the wilderness. I want to be right on his plan. I know there is a plan, see. All right? So he says the Holy Spirit, now he's the one that he's not going to speak on his own accord. Again, he has not come to be your Lord. Boy, that is so important to get. Who is the head of the church? Jesus is the head of the church. We are his disciples as much as the 12, as much as anybody else. He has instructions for us on a daily basis, just like he had for them. It's not a mystery. Let's say it this way. It's not a mystery to Jesus what your next assignment is. Now, how do we get it to be not a mystery to us? Could it be this Holy Spirit? Because he's not come to make a plan for you. He's come to bring you the plan. That's the Lordship of Jesus. Thank God we have a pastor. We have someone who, like Tim says, you know, Dave can start preaching on any subject. I don't care, faith, love, fasting, somewhere or another, it's going to come back around to tongues. That's his calling, to reestablish that ministry, the teaching and the truth about that ministry gift in the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit, he doesn't speak of himself. He's what he hears. What he hears from the mind of Christ, that's what he speaks. And then he's going to show you things to come. Notice in verse 14, he will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he will take of mine and shall show it unto you. Well, we could go to 1 Corinthians 14:2 right there. Say, I mean, when I'm doing prayer lines, you know, when we're doing ministry lines or even the prayer requests that come in, without a doubt, the most common request is money. No, I'm teasing. No. That's number two. The most common request. I need direction. I don't know what, I'm at a point in my life. I don't know whether I'm supposed to go to school, get a job, marry this one, don't marry anybody, marry that one. Am I called to this? Am I to be in the ministry? Am I to be in the marketplace and let him use me in the marketplace? I need direction. And the thing of it is, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on purpose, and God the Father sent the Holy Spirit on purpose, little orphans, to take you by your little hand. If there was a way that you could somehow, all of us, put our hand in the hand of this one, and he will lead us exactly where we need to go. 1 Corinthians 14:2, that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Now that tells you right there, when it says you're not speaking to men, no man understands him. This is a different tongue. Remember, there's four diversities of tongues. This is a different tongue than the tongue in Acts 2, where there, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on them and they began to speak with other tongues, every man heard them. Every man understood them, and not only understood them, he understood them in their known language. They were speaking to men. They were proclaiming the gospel in languages that they had never learned. Well, this one in 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, no, when you're this kind of a tongue, when you're speaking in this tongue, no man understands you. You're not speaking unto men. You're speaking unto God. How be it, or this is how it be, in the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries. Those mysteries, big part of those mysteries is your direction, your future, the things that you don't know. See, and the thing of it is, sometimes people get really frustrated with me and the message, because we keep talking about if you keep praying, you start hearing his voice. And that they don't think they're hearing it. Or let me say it this way. At least not the way, maybe I'm not describing it well enough, but they don't think they're hearing it. But the thing of it is, if they'll pray, they'll find their walk in his path anyway. Because these things are spiritually discerned. You'll make decisions and not know why if you're a person that prays consistently, you will make decisions not knowing why you made them. And then look back later in hindsight and say, well, that was God's hand all over that. See? He will direct your paths. Well, so praying in other tongues has a lot to do with it. Now, going over to Romans. I tell you, by the time Pastor Dave got through today, I just wanted to go pray in tongues now, you know. Well, after I eat. I wanted to go eat, and then I went. Then, right then. Oh, by the way, I always feel like I can do a lot of fasting right after a good meal, don't you guys? I love that fasting message right after a big meal. Glory to 40 days. That's right. This is it. Romans 8:26. I know. By now your Bible should just fall open to Romans 8. It says likewise. In other words, in the same way. Now, what he means, starting off with likewise, he's been teaching in this chapter already about how God's given us the new nature. Before you had that nature, you had the spirit of Adam. You had a nature that agreed pretty much with sin. The only thing, what's amazing? You know what the power of the law was? The law was given to people that had a sin nature so that they could use the power of their soul to override the sin nature. It was purposely given for people to walk by their soul rather than their spirit. Because if you walk by your spirit, you're going to kill your neighbor. And we're in the exact opposite now. Now God has given you a new nature. This is why it's so hard. God has given us a new nature, and now we're trying to learn how to walk by our spirit and not walk by the soul. It's the exact opposite. Your parents put an artificial conscience in you till you could get saved. And you had to walk by the power of the soul. It's wrong to steal. And way down deep you go, I want that toy. I want that toy bad, you know. I should just take it. But by the power of the soul, that artificial conscience, they got you to walk by your soul rather than by your instinct. Instinct, that's a good word. By your spirit. You get born again, and the whole reverse operation has to go into place now. Now you're supposed to walk by the spirit, not by sight. You're supposed to walk by the new man. And your soul, have you noticed, does not give that up easily. Your soul says, keep this. You might need it. It's mine. I keep it. And the spirit says, oh, they need it worse than you. Just give it to them. And your soul goes, bet me. And the war is on. Or in the season we're in now, you know, your spirit man, we need this flesh, we need to put this flesh down some. We need to not eat for a week. And your soul says, bet me. You're having an all-you-can-eat buffet right now, you know. So it's learning how to walk by the new man. And you work so hard to walk by the soul. You wanted to be a good little person. You want to be a good child and please your parents. They taught you how to walk by your soul. And so you tried your whole life. And if you were really good at it, now you have to undo all that? Well, the only real cure for that is renewing of the soul. See, a lot of that war goes away as you are renewed in the spirit of your mind, as your soul can be retaught. And that's a big part of why, again, praying in other tongues. He retrains you so that your soul is not always in such opposition. Well, anyway, I didn't really get... Want to get on. Mainly tonight, we want to talk about praying your future. How many wants the next 10 years to be a little different than the last 10 years? Okay, this is how you do it. Say, Gary, do you have a foolproof 100% plan? Is there something I could do on purpose that without fail, without the slightest possibility of a chance that I would miss it? Is there something I can do on purpose where I could walk God's, where I could at least know God's perfect plan for my life? Absolutely. Because if you do this and fail, then God has to fail. Holy Spirit is not going to fail. So Romans 8:26, in the same way that new nature has come to help you overcome the flesh, likewise the Spirit, and that should be a capital S, the Holy Spirit also, he takes hold with you with that new nature, and helps against our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. There's a lot of truth in that one sentence. You don't normally know what's wrong with you. You don't know why you keep failing. You don't know why you keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Now, other people might be able to see it in you, but a lot of times we're blind to it ourselves. And a lot of times they're wrong too, okay? But the Holy Ghost, he's not wrong. See, he knows. Another way that same thing there. One reason you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you don't know what's wrong with you. Another reason that you don't know what to pray for as you ought, you don't know his plan. You don't know his plan. Help me get to Macedonia. How could Paul pray that until by vision, a vision in the night, the Holy Spirit revealed to them that was the next part of the plan. Now, once you know the next part of the plan, God helped me get to Macedonia. See? But a lot of times you don't know what to pray for as yet because you don't know the plan. But notice this. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, let's get silly for a minute. Let's just get silly. Would you like to be the Holy Spirit this time? Usually you have to be the devil, you know. Or the now, see, here's Orphan Gary. Got saved, got saved and doesn't know what to do next, doesn't know where to go next, doesn't know what, you know, what am I called to be? I'm probably called to make millions, aren't I? I'm probably called to make millions. Yeah, that's me. Everyone likes that one, you know. you know, I'm probably supposed to have those, like those other preachers I see on TV, those big, you know, supposed to have mansions and swimming pools and Bentleys and, yeah, see, I got other witnesses. Yeah, everybody likes that, you know. That's probably what God's plan for me is. And yeah, I wish I knew what to do next. I wish I knew what to do next. And the Holy Spirit comes and taps you on the shoulder and goes, now, he's talking to me and he says, you know, I do know God's plan for you. There is a plan. If you'll let me, if you'll just sit here and be nice, I'm going to go right over there. Follow him, camera. I'm going to go right over there, sit down. And for the next hour, the Holy Spirit says, I'll just make perfect intercessory prayer for you. And you can go ahead about your business. You can go mow the lawn. You can watch football. You can read your Bible. You can play with your grandkids. You can do whatever you want to do. Just keep your lips moving. Just keep your lips moving. And you don't have to worry. I'll sit over here, and if you'll just keep those lips moving, praying in other tongues, I will make perfect intercession for you. And then little by little, as you need to know it, I'll reveal that to you. And you'll no longer be in doubt what to do. You'll have God's perfect plan. Would that be okay with you? And you go, well, I don't feel like it today. I appreciate the offer, but you know, my lips get tired. Or I just feel like he don't love me today. What in the world has any of that got to do with the Holy Spirit making intercession for you? God has made it so simple. We have to work at it to fail. Give him a hand. You don't have to stay there. You can go to your own seat. See, that's exactly what this verse is saying here. If we will allow him, but God himself will not override your authority. He will not force you to pray. That's why I had such a hard time receiving the Holy Spirit in the first place. You know, receiving being able to speak with tongues. I mean, I kept expecting God somehow to come grab my lips or, you know, get a hold of my tongue and start me doing it almost as a no. And in spite of myself, he'd get me. No, you always have to walk. You have to work in cooperation. He's never going to override your authority. Again, Pastor Dave set me so free on that. If God was ever going to slap anybody down, if he was ever going to do that, override their authority and stop them from doing something, it would have been Adam on his way to the tree. And if he didn't stop Adam, you cannot pray if you want to. Well, let's keep going here. It says, now the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, why can't they be uttered? Well, he just got through telling you. You don't know what to pray for as you ought. You pray long enough, you might be able to utter some of those prayers. But in the beginning, you don't know. And he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. And here it is. According to the will of God. He's not come to be your Lord. He's come to help you find the Lordship of Christ. He'll make intercession for you, that he's praying out your future. I'm going to do just exactly like Dave did. You can't do any better. You're in time. If this is a progression of time, this is now and over there is later. That's the future. You don't know the plan. You don't know. I mean, if left on your own, you may wander all over the place. You climb up over chairs and mountains. You may swim through rivers. You may go back again to the beginning and go this way for a while, because you don't know the plan. And then, but also, by the way, if you even if you do somehow stumble over and get close, you know what else? You don't know the devil's plans. You don't know the tactics he's got there to stop you. You don't know what all's going on, see? And so you get caught by surprise. Well, what he's saying is, look, even here now in time, you begin praying in other tongues. Let that Holy Spirit just start making intercession. Well, you're already where you are. He's not praying so much about this. Well, he is some. But really what he's praying about things to come. He's praying God's plan. He's making intercession for your life. And guess what else? He knows the future. He knows the devil's plans. He knows the tactics. He told me one time, he said, if I'll spend enough time with him, he says, he'll show me ahead of time the devil's tactics, and I'll just be able to walk right around him. Just walk right around him or destroy him if they need to be. Just walk right through him, see? So I'm praying here now. And the thing of it is, it seems so perilous while you're doing it. Does anything seem more boring than praying in other tongues? Especially if you do it now, you know, the kind I described a while ago is the kind where you, you know, while you're doing the dishes, while you're vacuuming, while you're mowing the lawn, whatever it is you do. And those all count. There's not anything less about that. But I do like those times where I can just give myself completely, where I'm not doing anything else. And Dave is so right again. If I got 4 hours to pray. I got 4 hours. Should I pray 1 hour each day? Or if I have the choice, should I pray 1 hour each day, or should I pray 4 hours on one day? See, and that's 4 hours on one day is better because, and I found this to be true too, the longer you pray, the quieter you get. You get quiet on the inside. It gets to where it's kind of like, was it Elijah at the cave? He ran ahead of Ahab's chariots and all, and he got in the cave, and the storm came, and the wind and the thunder and all of that come. But the Lord's voice was not in any of that. After all that was gone and it got quiet, then he heard that still small voice. That's a type and a shadow for us. Sometimes you got to pray and let the storms, all that stuff you're going through. Sometimes it takes a while to get the mind quiet where you can begin hearing him. You know, we're supposed to be led by peace. You know, most people can't find enough peace to get led by. You know. And I've also learned, it's just Tim taught me this one, just a practical tool you can use is have something to write on, a notepad or something. Just like this lady here's got a notepad. He says, as your mind thinks of things you've got to do, that's the way God made your mind. It's supposed to remind you of that stuff. Write it down, you know. Write it down. And the way your mind is made, it's going, oh, okay, Gary heard that. He recorded it. Okay, he's going to. Now, if he doesn't do it, I'm going to remind him later, but I'll quit reminding him right now. The first day I ever did that, and just praying, and as I thought of stuff that I needed to do, write it down. I hope I still have the number remembered correctly. If it's close, if it's not exactly. If I remember correctly, that list, I had 52 items on it. 52 items, and I'm wondering, why can't I hear God? My mind is stretched to the max, trying to remember all this stuff that I'm supposed to do. But as I wrote that stuff down, and then the wonderful thing is, once your prayer time is over, you have got your to-do list. You'll be more productive that day and the next day than you have been. You'll get more done in the next 2 days than you have in the last 2 or 3 weeks. You're serious. I still do it to this day. It makes a tremendous difference. Well, getting back to this now, we still haven't got to the future in this passage right here. He says, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now here, verse 28. Now see, I'll read it first. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now see, here we go. That's a verse that I was heavily taught on in the denominational church. They would lift that verse out of its setting and just like it didn't have any connection to everything that was around it. And they'll say, can I just say real stupid stuff from the pulpit? Like, well, see, everything that happens is God. It's him, you know, that car wreck that killed your kids? That's him, you know. that cancer that attacked your body, that's God working all things together for good. And there's no way in the world you can make it say that if you leave it in the setting. But see, the denomination I grew up in doesn't believe in praying in other tongues. They couldn't leave it in the setting. They had no way of leaving it because they've forsaken the one that they're supposed to put their hands into. And when I say that, I don't mean they've forsaken the Holy Ghost. They talk about the Holy Ghost. They just don't let him do anything. Anyway. Ouch. But it's the truth anyway. It's the truth anyway, see? No, if you leave it in the setting, now what's he been talking about? He said the Holy Spirit, he'll come. He knows the plan of God. He will begin to make intercession for you. So here you are again. You're like Dave did it this morning. I can't improve on that. You're here in the now, and he's praying out your future. And you're giving him maybe every day an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is, whatever time you have with him. You don't know how to get there. You don't even know where there is. You don't know what the future is for you, but boy, he does. I wish I could see it sometime in the... You know, what's he doing? He's, okay, Gary's going to face this right here. I'm going to pray about that. And, oh, yeah, on, you know, November 16th, 19, I don't know, 2011. This is, okay, that's a trap of the devil. I'm going to be praying about that right there and make sure he knows what to do. And I'm going to have him walk right over here around that trap. And what's happening, you're here now. You do know there's no time with God. The way we have to perceive it, he is praying in your future. I hope you get this. But to God, your future is his now. Ow! Ow, you hurt my finite brain right there, Gary. I know. He lives outside of time. Time to him is a created thing. Time to him is like a watch on his wrist. He made it. You know? He lives there. Your future is as much real to him as your now is to you. Is that fair? And while you're allowing that process, leave it in the setting, while you're allowing the Holy Spirit to make that kind of prayer, pray in your future, I mean, you can rest assured that everything he's praying is for your good on that path. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about anything else either. When I say you're good, that doesn't mean your best life now. And I'm not against that preacher, but I'm against your best life now. If that conflicts with his plan for your life. I'm interested in his best life now through me. Not me acquiring the most possessions and the finest things. You know, I don't mind having those. I've told him before, he's welcome to give me those things. I like nice things like anybody else. But not at the expense of my calling. See? I want his best life now through me. Well, boy, the Holy Ghost is the one that knows that. So with Pastor Dave's teaching and going along, his eyes going, can you finish this? I need to go pray right after I eat. I need to go pray. It inspires me again. You mean there is something I can do in the now that will assure my future? There's something I can do in the now that some trap, some plan that the devil has for me 3 years out. He may have had 10,000 devils working on this plan for years. But if I allow the Holy Spirit, he'll pray me either around that plan or destroy that plan. Or I'll walk right through that plan unscathed like the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. You mean if I allow him to pray, that's possible? Get out of my way. Do not stand between me and my prayer closet. We are so accountable. We are blessed among people to have ever heard this. I mean, the vast majority of the church is still locked up in a prison of false doctrine. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, and on that path is not only those things that, like what I've been talking about. Do you know that your transformation is also included in that prayer? Here it is right here, the very next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not only are you praying the future, you're praying your ministry, you're praying your way around or through the devil's traps. Not only is it also praying the revelation knowledge of God's word. I told you this morning about how as soon as I gave myself to praying in those trucks, he undid in 17 months what it took the certain teachers on TV 10 years to put in. Well, it didn't take them quite that long, about 5 years to put in me. And the Holy Ghost undid all that in about 17 months and trained me enough to go full time in the ministry, which I didn't think I was, but he did. Let me say it this way. The Holy Ghost is good at what he does. And in that 17 months, part of that retraining, along with that retraining, I'm talking about in the area of finances now, for benefit of these people who maybe didn't get to hear. I mean, I was trained by the TV preachers in the 80s that this, you know, your giving was all about you, really. And the guy who led me to the Lord wasn't that way. He was real pure. I mean, you know, I got to tell you about Michael Muccio now. I can't even think of anything really that he taught us we had to unlearn. And he put the right spirit in us, if you'll allow me to say it that way. When we gave, it was to help you. Or when we gave, it was to help send the gospel out. Or when we gave, it was always kingdom purposes. That's what was on our mind. But he had to move away to another state, and we were left with a local preacher and TV preachers. And they began to retrain us, especially me more than Sue. But little by little by little, they turned my thinking, my motivations, to where every time I gave, it was more about me than it was the person I was giving it to. And I you know, it was my 100. Okay, now, how do I sow a seed to meet my need? What was my need, my need, okay? I may have to give something to you, but what I'm really after is to have my need met. Well, that's the same motivation I had in the world. Everything was about me and how to prosper and how to be blessed. And that's the same heart motivation. And they put that same spirit of the world back in me and called it Christianity. And I pray they make heaven. It's serious. I don't know what. I'm not the judge, but if I read 2 Peter, it's scary. Very scary stuff. So here, and I just a little parrot, boy, I was teaching in the 80s too, and I just teaching the same stuff they taught me. You know, you want to be blessed? I told Sue's sister once, one of her sisters, I said, well, you're cursed and God himself can't help you because you don't tithe. And I thought I was doing her a favor. I thought I was telling her the truth. Started praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in those trucks. And he didn't go right for that. Dave is so right. Revelation knowledge is like building a house. You know, we want to know roof questions. We want to know these answers to things. And you don't have any walls there. You'd have no way to support that roof. He had to go all the way back to the law and start unteaching me, or let's say it reteaching me, line upon line. He'd take that false brick out and put the right brick in. And it's really more like a stone than it is a brick. You know, revelation knowledge is like a stone wall, not a brick wall. Bricks are all uniform. Revelation knowledge, you might pray for 3 days and get a revelation knowledge this big. Seems like, good Lord, I prayed for 3 days and I got one sentence. But that little sentence got to be right in that place in your wall. Maybe along with about 2 or 3 others. Because that next one that's coming, that big stone, it's got to rest on those. It's got to rest there, see. Well, revelation knowledge is like that. So he didn't just come and give me a new roof. He had to tear down the false, rebuild the walls. And it didn't take him that long. And the amazing thing, it's more than knowledge, because along with the teaching came the heart transformation to it. And he put me right back. My heart motivation, after about 17 months, he got me straightened out at least enough to where he could trust me at least go into the ministry and not rob you. Basically, it was enough to where I could hear him enough, where I could follow his instructions. Remember, because I still thought we started a little Bible study. Well, I don't know how we're going to survive. I don't know. But see, I've been praying my future. I didn't realize what all I was praying. I've been praying my future in those trucks 40, 50, 60 hours a week for 17 months. But still in the natural, that doesn't mean I knew. He didn't tell me how he was going to pay our bills. He didn't tell me how he was going to survive. And so my natural mind would think, okay, he says, I want you to start this little Bible study. I went, aha. Aha. I take up offerings, you know. I take up, pray a little more, and I heard him say, and I'd take up no offerings from these people. Man. So where I had prayed myself to was a place of obedience more than, you know, but I was going to obey him no matter what. And so then, you know, you pray, pray, pray. And he says, now I want you to start recording, make tape in those days, you know, tape cassette recordings of every service. And I go, aha, people sell the ministries. They sell those recordings. That's probably how it's going to be. We're going to worldwide tape sales. I can see it now, you know. You can sell one tape to a million people and get a dollar. Hallelujah. He says, oh, by the way, make all the tapes for free. It was like everything that I could think of in the natural. You talk about not knowing how to pray as you want. You know, before that, I might have prayed, oh, God, sell a million tapes, sell a million tapes. Well, there's no point praying that if you don't get any of it, so... Trying to be real here. But have you all noticed we didn't die? We survived, you know, financially. Because what he told us, he says, eventually, I kept following little by little those steps. See, and that's how you do it. You pray and let him pray your future. And then you start getting, all you really need to know is the next thing. You don't need to know the next 10 years. You need to know the next thing. Go to Macedonia or whatever it is for you. Okay. As I look back on it now, my Lord, we have fed the world for free, the Word of God. And I mean, in the old days, we did it by cassette tape, by the tens of thousands. I mean, our postage was between $4,000 and $5,000 a month, not to count all the other expenses, just the postage alone. You think, that's impossible. And I go, I know. You're preaching to the choir, buddy. I know it's impossible. How did you do it? I can't even tell you. But we did. And then he progressed it on to the MP3 files and into the internet. And now it's thousands upon tens of thousands, you know. And then not to mention how many of those are duplicated in other ways. When I went to South Africa that time, I found out that this one man on his own, he just had a little one at a time computer. He'd copy one CD, copy one CD. Y'all know how long that takes, right? Copy a CD. He'd already given away 300 of those. 300 CDs, just pass them out like tracts. That was his ministry, just passing out CDs like tracts to people at his own expense. And he had bought a 3-to-1 cassette duplicator and had just literally made thousands of tapes and given them away. He'd set aside a little portion of his money. Well, how many people are doing that everywhere? You know, what I'm saying is you don't know when you hand the Lord your little, I like to call it your loaves and fishes of obedience. You pray and you hear an instruction. Okay, make the tapes for free. Okay. And you hand that little obedience into his hand. You don't know how he's going to multiply that. Feed the world. See, when I get to heaven, I'm starting to close now. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to search. If they have records, I'm going to find out where the Hall of Records is. And I'm going to find out who it was that gave Michael Muccio the $10 he used to gas up his car, to drive to the real estate office where I worked. Whoever that was, because I'm telling you, Michael didn't have any money. I mean, his shoes were holy. As you walked away, you could see holes in both shoes. You know, he had whoever it was that gave him that $10. Just to them, I'm sure it wasn't that big a deal. Probably just, here's $10, you know, put gas in the car, drive to where Gary is. Based on that one trip, my whole family's saved. I'm saved. Our relatives, many of our relatives, Sue's daddy got saved. On and on and on it goes. And then the ministry that's gone around the world. I'm going to find whoever it was that gave that $10. I'm going to, like Dave says, my lips will resemble the bathroom plunger. As I come out and kiss them right on the cheek. Thank you. Thank you for your loaves and fishes. Thank you for that $10 of obedience. You don't know how God multiplied that $10. You don't know the lives that were touched because you gave the $10 that brought him to my house. Listen, God is a great God. He has not left us comfortless. There's no reason for us to feel like we don't know what to do. There's no reason to feel like an orphan. He has given you not an angel. He has given you himself, God the Holy Ghost. He says, put your hand in mine, child. Let me pray those mysteries that you don't know. You put your hand in mine. I will lead you into the fullness of his calling. You'll finish your course with joy. And you'll enter heaven with an abundant reward. Excuse me, I got to go pray. Isn't that good? And it won't matter a bit if we don't do it. If we don't do it. Okay. Now he's wanting me to give you a homework assignment. I need you to write down 5 scripture references. These are the 5 I've given you before, if you've already written them down before. These are all in Matthew. This is something you can use to renew your hope. This is what he calls revival. Nothing else is. But every one of these scriptures is where you'll find he healed them all. He healed them all, okay? Now, he didn't always. I'm not saying he did every time, but this is the mark we're shooting for. Let us shoot the arrow here, and hopefully we'll hit close, okay? But Matthew 4:24. You can look them up later. I'm just giving you the references. Matthew 12:15. Matthew 15:30. Matthew 19:2. And then Matthew 21:14. You need to mark those or have them. I have them here in the back of my Bible, so I'll go back and go through those stories again. See those pictures. I want those images. You know, when you read the Word of God, your brain does not process ABC, not really. It uses that, but what it really processes is pictures. You think in pictures. And I need to keep those images before me all the time. That is what we're contending for. Think of the day, people. Think of the day. Like Dave has seen in his spirit, where the traffic, the line, farther than you can see. I've seen it before. I've seen it for other events in this town where they'd be backed up trying to get off 71st and get across there. And they're bringing everything in the world. I mean, stretcher cases, wheelchair cases. I hope they bring that little boy from Ulaga that's missing 3 limbs now. God has a plan for him. You think God intends to leave him like that? You know, was it spinal meningitis got him? Spinal meningitis, and it took 3, little boy, 8 years old, 6, 7, 8, right in there, took 3 of his limbs, or all 4, it's all 4 of them, yeah, all 4 limbs. You talk about a picture of the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. My Bible says, you looked up those verses, the maimed were made whole. Now, if you don't think that would, did that story make the news? You think it won't make the news when those 4 limbs get put back on there? Come on now, yeah. Tell me, it'll be national, worldwide. Revival has begun. Use those verses. Let the Holy Ghost paint those images in you till they're real. That's God's word. It's never going to change. That's his mind. It's never going to change. That's the assignment of the prayer centers, to bring that level of revival back into this earth again. It's something worth giving your life for. Hallelujah.